Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8. Want to thank you, Brother Reagan, Bible Believers of South Lyon, for having me in again. It's a pleasure. It's an honor coming out here to Whitmore Lake. You know, I was locked up in Maxie when I was a little kid, so I'm trying to, I see Green Oaks everywhere, but I can't see Maxie. So going out there to the motel, so I was just laughing. It's 30 years later, and you see what God will do. While you moping and groping and thinking it's the end of the world because something happened in your life, he's still on the throne. Yeah. All right, Luke chapter 8 in verse 26, and the Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Remember, Jesus Christ is always taking somebody with him so they can see something. Jesus Christ always taking somebody with him so they can see something miraculous, see God. God, you should always have somebody around that they can see God work in your life. Not so they can just believe it. Your children should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because they have a personal relationship with him. They shouldn't believe this is my mother and father's God. At some point in time, it has to become their own personal God. But he's always taking somebody with him. And the Bible says that when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. So the Bible says there's some crazy man who's living in the tombs. But when he saw Jesus Christ afar off, he said, he got something that I need. He tried everybody else. He went to everybody else. But when he saw Jesus far off and coming up to the land, he said, I need to go talk to him. The Bible says when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. He fell down before him. That's a position of worship. Be careful what you fall down before. And the Bible says, and with a loud voice said, you know, he didn't come meek and, well, my God, I want to... talk to you today and with proper all of that. He came crying with a loud voice. With a loud voice. You know, we live in this generation. Hush, hush, inside voice.
Yeah, come on,
Bridget. You know, this is a Baptist church. Your inside voice should be similar to your outside voice. It should be similar to your cheering voice. You might be meek and lowly out there. So that's what about when you're a football player, basketball player, favorite actor, actress, or somebody you like. Do something that you appreciate. Use that voice when something touch you.
Amen.
I won't be offended. I won't. If your neighbors be offended, they'll get over it. The Bible says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now, he's got devils in him. He's got an unclean spirit in him. And Jesus commands the unclean spirit to come out of him. And this is why I love this. This is why I love. I tell you, read your Bible all the time. You know, people like to say God never answers the prayer of a sinner, but the prayer of salvation. It looked like some devils got a prayer answered. Looked like the devils knew who to talk to. Now, if that's sad that the devils believe more Bible than you. The Bible says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? Jesus wanted to know what his name. Jesus is always asking some questions. If you don't understand something, maybe you should ask some questions so you can get a better understanding instead of evil surmising and saying, I already understand what you're about to say, and I know what you're going to do, so I know all about you. If Jesus Christ, knowing everything, always asks a question, maybe you should ask a couple of questions. Or maybe 10 or 20. The Bible says that he said legion because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Listen, he knew that many devils had entered into him. We live in America and we live in a time of denial. Everybody's crazy except for me. That means it's you. But the crazy man did not say, he didn't say, he said, I got many devils in the internet to me. And the Bible said, they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mount. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And they hurt. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Now, the devil said, hey, don't send us into the deep. Just send us into this herd of swine. They asked a prayer and God gave it to them. Now, if you can't pray and God answer your prayer, with a yes. He gave them a yes. Not a no later, maybe not. That was a yes. You should be able to get some yes to your prayers. You know, if they line up with God's will, you probably get them. He says, when they that fed them saw that was what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. They've been telling on folk for a long time. You shouldn't be surprised that somebody go tell on you. You know, they looking for something to tell. They went to imagine you going to tell on Jesus. Think about it. I'm going to go tell on Jesus. Oh, people say I'm mad at God because he took my mom, my dad, my cousin, my brother, my friend. Who you telling? They're going to tell on Jesus. They're going to go tell the people on Jesus. How's that going to work out for them? The Bible says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This would be a time to rejoice, to praise God, to glorify God, to magnify God, because no doubt they had already seen him in the tomb. They had already seen him chained up with fetters and all these things, and they seen him break them, and they seen him running around here naked. He's clothed and in his right mind. They got a problem with it. They're afraid. Just a good. This is a good old American story. The Bible said they also that which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. He was possessed of the devils and he was healed. That's a time to rejoice. When you see somebody that's been trapped and entangled by the world and snared by sin and they've been breaking free, you ought to rejoice and praise God and glorify God. And lift him up. The Bible says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from. Hey, you got to get out of here, buddy. But they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. You know why? Because some businessman lost some money. So their business was more important than the glory of God. And this man being set free. Bible says, then the whole multitude of the country, of the Gadarenes, round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Jesus says, okay, I ain't going to force nothing on you that you don't want. And the Bible says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God have done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout all the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now think about that. You've been running around here naked and chains and tombs and all of this foolishness, making a fool out of yourself. And Jesus Christ clothes you and frees you and puts you in your right mind. Who are you about to go with? Who are you trying to go with? I don't want to be with them. They've been mocking me all my life. They've never been able to help me. They ain't never done nothing for me. I've been the laughing stock of all that. They've been laughing at me all my life. And you come free me and you do something for me. I want to go with you, Jesus. That's only reasonable. Somebody lead you to the Lord, get you out of the muck and the mire. Hey, this is the person led me to the Lord. I dare you say something about him. That's what it ought to be. You got a new allegiance. Something to die for. But Jesus says, return to thine own house and show how great things God have done unto thee. And he went his way. Listen, he was upset about it, but guess what he did? He did what Jesus Christ told him to do. The Bible says that he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They were all waiting for him. And what I want to preach about is when Jesus Christ come back, the Jesus Christ that you proclaim, the Jesus Christ that you preach, the Jesus Christ that you profess, when he comes back, will there be a whole bunch of people here waiting for him to gladly receive him? The Jesus Christ you proclaim. They sung that song, "It's Still the Blood." Listen, it ain't never stopped being the blood. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He requires a righteous sacrifice. And without blood, there's no remission of sins. You need some blood. You need a blood sacrifice. The problem is with your blood, it stinks. Your blood is no good. And guess what? If you could clean your blood up, if you could fix your blood up, it still is not eternal blood. Right. Jesus Christ's blood is eternal. So you need some blood that's eternal. That he can, that some blood that, you know, he said he laid down his life, but death couldn't hold him. Because he comes from eternity. He's the possessor of life. The Jesus Christ that you proclaim. In this chapter, you have some adverse circumstances. If you're going to do anything for God, you have to work through some adverse circumstances. God never promised anybody that, hey, soon as this easy believism, this prosperity gospel, once you get saved, everything's going to be beautiful. You're going to wake up and your hair's going to be flowing in the wind, and all your wrinkles is going to be gone. You're going to be Mr. America the next day. That's not the Bible. There's going to be some adverse circumstances. If you're going to make it here in this world until Jesus Christ come back, and you're going to help somebody and see them clothed and in their right mind at the feet of Jesus, you got to get through some adverse circumstances. This man was possessed with devils. He was demon possessed. And guess what? The only thing that could help him, somebody from outer space, somebody from outside of time, outside of this world, had to come and help him.
Well,
not no alien talking about take us to your leader. That no. Had to be Jesus Christ. You got adverse circumstances. You are in verses 26 through 39. Is that verses in this chapter? You have in 41, 42. You have a dying daughter that was 12 years old. See, we like it's in the Bible. This ain't the first time some baby, some teen baby didn't die. You have some adverse circumstances in this chapter. And Jesus Christ overcomes the adverse circumstances. You think if Jesus Christ was somewhere near around with you, if you had some inkling of relationship with the Savior, if your kid was on his deathbed, Father God, I need help. You think he'd show up? Have you had a good working relationship with him? I ain't talking about just being saved. Yeah, I got saved and I went to a church and I asked the Lord to save me, but I'm doing my own thing, not your thing. You need to be doing God's thing. What is the thing that you want me to do? But you have a dying daughter for 12 years and Jesus Christ shows up. You have a diseased lady in this chapter, and she suffered for 12 years, and all the doctors and all the folk came and sucked all the money out of her. But here along comes a great physician to help her in these adverse circumstances. Listen, somebody's here today and you got some adverse circumstances and you think it's the end of the world. And Jesus Christ just come by like cool breeze. But if you ain't aware, you are missing. The maniac of Gadara, he's in the tomb. It's dark in the tomb. Because he's in the darkness, he can see the light. Hey, that's light out there. There go Jesus. He got something. I know. I ain't never seen. And listen, I've been watching a lot of people. He can say, you got a devil on you. You got a devil on you. You got the same stuff I got. But he got something I need. You know, as a Christian, you ought to have something that folk need. On your job, they should say, I've been watching you.
and you're not handling these adverse circumstances in your life the way I would, what's helping you? And you should be able to say, oh, I got Jesus Christ. You should be able to say, oh, it's Jesus Christ. In this chapter, you not only have adverse circumstances, but you have an anxious crowd. And I like to explain the anxious crowd like this. When he told them, return to thine own house, verse 39, and return to thine own house and show how great things God have done unto thee and his great. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, listen, you know, the businessman said, hey, hush that up. And the man there said, I don't care nothing about your pigs. I know I was in that tomb. And I know why it chained me up. He probably was the businessman that chained him up. Because he was losing business because of him. Hey, man, we need to chain this dude. This dude is costing us money. This dude costing us money. Chain him up. Put him somewhere. Okay, nobody find him. Put him in that dark cave over there. Listen, he's in the way. You know what he kept doing? Hey, man, listen, you know who I am. Man, is that really you, that story I heard about you? Yeah, it was me. How you get out? Jesus set me free. He's, where you at now? He says, he's coming back again. You know what Christians ought to be saying. Where's the promise of his coming? He's coming back whether you like it or not. You can mock, you can scorn, you can say whatever you want to. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back to get me. I don't know about you. You might not. He might not. He might. Listen, when that boat pull up again, I'm getting on it this time. It ain't going to be enough room for you. You worry about your pigs. We ain't taking no pigs with us either. Beware of businessmen. A preacher told me that. Beware of businessmen in your church. They'll run your church like a business. You know, the church is a hospital for sick souls. It ain't a business. You ain't no use you saving up a bank account to have a million and say the church is worth 5 million. And you need to say, how much is that in heaven? How much? What's the currency exchange? What's the exchange rate in heaven? Yeah, I'm telling you, souls is priceless in heaven. Souls is priceless. You think you might want to see a few people saved and growing in grace and knowledge and wisdom of Jesus Christ? You might want to do that a few times over. You might want to take that person and train them to be a soul winner. Hey, I don't know the exchange rate, but the Bible says precious is the redeeming of your soul, for it ceases forever. Whatever the worth is, it ain't going out. It don't depreciate whatever the worth is. Well, yeah. It ain't not like, listen, you get you a Bentley, Porsche, or Maserati, whatever you want, that's losing value. Yeah. Not a soul. Listen, after the maniac of Gadara went around and told everybody, I submit to you that they were longing and excited about Jesus. I submit that they was like, you say he coming back to the river? Yeah, I'm waiting for him at the river. The same way he left, I'm expecting him to come back. You know, people just start showing up down there. Hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm waiting on Jesus. And he gets to start preaching to them while they waiting on Jesus. So he built up an excitement. There was a longing. There was a leaning in as he preached. You know, when you come to church, it doesn't matter if the preacher is a screamer, is he an intellectual or something. You should be able to come to church and get some from the preaching if you want some. If you come to get some, you get some. But if you come and you say, this is just what we do, you ain't getting nothing. You should be excited. You should be exhilarated. You should be leaning in. I need to get some because I'm hurting out here. You should have known or found out by now that the only place you can get the healing and the help and the comfort is in this book and around God's people. If the book and God's people come together at church.
Yes, sir.
There was a leaning in there. There's some labor, though. You know, for somebody to get saved, you're going to have to work with them. You know, somebody that you, it's very rare that you bump into somebody, stumble and trip and fall and trip them, and they say, they don't say, would you like to get saved? So I'm looking for somebody to tell me how to get saved. It's very rare that that happens. You have to get your shovel out and start digging. Some hard ground was brick hard. You start working it a little bit as you can, and then turning it over. Put some seed in it. Listen, nobody at your job knows you're a Christian unless you tell them or unless you have a testimony. And if you got a testimony, you need to use it and tell them about Jesus. I preached this last week. You know, if you got a relationship with Jesus, God will give you, he'll give you some favor on your job. He'd give you some favor. Oh, they make up all the laws and rules. You can't witness on your job. I was like, whatever. Go tell the HR lady. And the HR lady liked me. She said, I love the fact that you tell him to come tell me. They didn't know she was a Christian, too. Listen, the anxious crowd, for there to be an anxious crowd for coming, for when Jesus come back, there has to be they were all wanting. So there has to be, there has to be some longing, there has to be some leaning in, there has to be some labor. You know, this world is marked up. The maniac of Gadara was marked up by the world. He was messed up by the people. And you know what? Jesus Christ says, I bear in my body the marks of the cross for you. Those marks you got, we gonna exchange them. I give you my mark. I'll take your mark. You take my mark. No pain involved. No, you can't work your way into it. You can't. I don't care. You baptize all the babies you want to. That dirty sewer water ain't going to help nothing. You just got a wet center. So what you got? A wet baby center. It's precious and goo goo and gaga you got, you want them to be, you still a sinner. People are marked up by the world and messed up by folk. And you need to help them. You need to be bringing the folks to Jesus. You need to be watching and waiting and looking for the opportunity to pounce on somebody. You should be looking. You should have some people that you deal with every day that you're praying for, that you spent some time praying, that you invested time in. You might have to take them to go get them something to eat. You was going to go get you something to eat anyway. You might have to invest in them. You might have to spend some time with them. You might have to go help them move. You know, sinners don't call. People with hurt don't call when you're ready for them to call. They're going to call when you dog tired, you hanging upside down like, I need some help right now. They say, hey, come help me. I need help right now. Jesus is going to say, you better go help him. You know what the hindrances to revival is? It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because they'll keep you from maintaining hope. It's hopeless. You spent too much time. You invested too much time. You need to go home and rest and relax and watch your favorite show. And you know, I like to say, you know, I got a favorite show, but your favorite show come on 24/7, 24 hours a day. Because it's one favorite show after the next 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 favorite show. Oh, I got to go to work. I wish I could stay home and watch my favorite show. And you ain't doing but watching rerun. How many times you done watched a rerun or something that you knew what the end was going to be? And you encapsulated by it. That's how you should be about souls. That's how you should be when you're going door knocking and somebody's witnessing to them. You should be expectantly waiting and praying that something happened. You know, the world is always talking about act like, be like, talk like, walk like. But they never say act like, be like, talk like, walk like Jesus. They always say act like me, talk like me, be like me. And they don't know what they is. There's some labor involved. Not only do we have adverse circumstances, not only do we have an anxious crowd, But we just, my family just sung that song, It's Still the Blood. We have an amazing Christ. That overcomes adverse circumstances. That's waiting for the anxious crowd to say, hey, I'm right here. And Jesus Christ came back. And when Jesus Christ returned, it shows he's always available. You need to teach you need to tell your neighbors, your co-workers, the people you deal with every day, you know Jesus Christ is available. You had a store closed, or they don't have the telemarketer, they ain't picking up. You know, the insurance person ain't picking up. You got to talk to the computer. You can talk directly to Jesus. He's always available. He's always going to show up on time. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say, well, you know, he might show up or prevent you. He might be sleeping or something like when Elijah was mocking the Baalites. Prevent you, your God is asleep. You need to cut yourself a little deeper and put a little bit more fire on this thing. Whosoever, the Bible said, him that cometh to him, and he will in no wise come out. You know what I said all the time. You know what the package is. When you get Jesus, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When God calls you into the ministry, you know he don't change his mind. Listen, all you kids here, whatever God called for you, whatever calling he has on your life, he's not changing his mind. He's an amazing Christ. He's not only available, he's always able. He's able to reckon. He has reconciling power. You're in the ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation to help people reconcile themselves back to Christ. Amen. Reconcile yourself back to your husband and wife ain't going to help you if Christ ain't involved in it. You need to get Christ first. He can fix some stuff up that me and you, he can cover up some stuff. You know, he cleans up. He cleaned up people real good. There's some people you know that had some terrible past, and if they told you, like, I know not you, it couldn't possibly be, because Jesus Christ cleaned up real good. Yeah. He has reconciling power. He has rapturing power. He's coming back. He's coming back to receive his own. And he knows his own name. You know how some of your parents say, Johnny, Bill, Will, what is your name? Forgot their kids' name. Jesus Christ doesn't forget his kids' name. He doesn't forget his own. Jesus Christ has reviving power. Would you be free from your burden and sin? Jesus Christ will revive you. You need the hope in Jesus. See, they were all amazed. When Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Listen, that's a reason to get upbeat and get all upbeat and chipper. Hey, God ain't forgotten me. He hasn't fallen off the throne. He knows who I am. He knows my name. And he's coming back to get me. But I he didn't want to get on. He wasn't trying to get on a boat by himself. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Chapter 40. Come on in. You know, they probably hung the businessman. Get rid of him. Put him in the tomb. We trying to get some of Jesus. Because you know what? Everybody would say, hey, you sure? You know, because people don't like to, they don't want, and when they're in a crowd, they act tough. But when they're by themselves, hey, tell me about Jesus again. Tell me about Jesus again. And one by one, they was there, and they was all pushing. What you here for? I'm trying to get some. Wait a minute. I'm getting first. I want him first. You was talking junk back there, so you got to wait. I heard what you said. I'm trying to get him first. Listen, the Jesus Christ that you proclaim, the Jesus Christ that you profess, and the Jesus Christ that you preach, will people be gladly waiting to receive him when he returns? Or will you gladly have a whole bunch of people with you saying, hey, we serving Jesus because he got me out of that tomb. He broke those chains of sin off of me. He broke the fetters. He got me out of that dark cave and he turned the light on. And he had me clothed and in my right mind. I think you need to get some of Jesus. Is that the Jesus Christ that you profess Is that the Jesus Christ that you proclaim? Is that the Jesus Christ that you preach? Do you possess it? If you possess it, folks should know it. They should be able to see it. Listen, every one of you folks' jobs or schools or wherever you're at every day, people should be getting a little bit of Jesus. You should be, just shaking some off on them. And it should be about to be having a revival bust out wherever you're at. Let's pray.